the love in his heart, and I couldn't lead him on anymore. And I said, he asked me, I said, Charlie, you got something to say to me? And then he asked me for Megan's hand in marriage. And I said, of course. Ceci and I would be honored to have you marry my daughter. And we've never regretted one second of that in our entire lives. So being here today, it's difficult to lose someone you love. But the Bible says that it's good for us to be here, that it's important for us to be here. In fact, listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 7. It says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. God's saying here that it's better to go to a funeral than to a party. And I've read that many times before, and I've preached that at funerals before. And I thought I had a good understanding, I thought I knew that verse pretty well. And then last night, God showed all of us a different and more intense perspective of what that meant. Because last night, God's word, his word on the pages of these sacred texts came to life right before our very eyes. The words of Psalm 23, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. There was no fear last night, there was faith. Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirit is crushed. Our spirits weren't crushed last night. They might have been heavy hearts, but their spirits weren't crushed last night. Philippians 4, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. We saw that. We saw those words actually come to life, and were able to visualize that and see that last night. And I just want to thank God. And I just want to give God the glory. And I just want to praise him for allowing our family, to be able to experience that. And to be blessed by the memory of Charlie being filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we left that place last night like I've never seen anybody leave a place after a wake. There were tears of happiness, tears of joy, and we want to continue that today. So I'm going to ask you if you'll just please stand with me, and let's prepare our hearts for worship as Mr. Briner comes and leads us into God's presence.
God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do, yeah. God, I look to you.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from.
Yes, you are.
Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
And I will love you, Lord, my strength.
I will love you, Lord, my shield. Oh, I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God.
Tell him one more time, I love you.
And I will love you, Lord, my strength.
You are my strength.
I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God.
Now let's sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days,
hallelujah. Yes, you reign.
Hallelujah.
Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry out to thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, yes, it is. That is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter. For thou hast been a shelter unto me. Oh, yes, you have, oh God. A high tower, Lord, against the enemy. Let's sing that one more time. It's our testimony.
For thou hast been a shelter unto me. A high tower, Lord, against the enemy.
When my heart is overwhelmed,
and when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
So much higher,
that is higher than I.
When my heart is overwhelmed,
and when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Oh, you are our help, oh God,
that is higher than I.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated.
Thank you, Megan, for the privilege of sharing a few words today and this morning. You know, watching you and your whole family yesterday, I was at a loss for words. I don't know if you noticed this, and maybe some of you did, but when people lined up to bring comfort to Megan, and she was standing at the front of the church, and people were coming down the aisle, she advanced towards them, and within about half an hour, she was at the back, and then she had to come back to the front again, and she was leaning in to people to comfort them in the midst of her grief. And I know that you were filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I know that the Lord was with you, and it was supernatural strength. And that's the strength that's carrying you, and it's evident. But I know as well, this week is the longest week you've ever lived through. And it's only been 6 days. It seems like it's been a year. But last night was powerful. It was miraculous. It's exactly what Charles was praying for. It's exactly what he was praying for, to see that first fruits, I believe. I believe that was just the first fruits of what we are going to see. And so today, as we look back and remember, I also want to look forward. I also want to look forward. And there's going to be lonely days. There's going to be painful moments as you, as a family, navigate the next weeks, months, and years. As the crowds dissipate, as the visitors aren't filling your house, there's going to be some challenges as you figure out a new routine. But the scripture that the Lord spoke to me about this morning is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 7. And Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share." You know, the community of people that we live in here in South Kansas City is truly an amazing community. It's an unusual community. It is amazing and a unique environment. Such a blessing to be living here. And last night showed how much people care, the donations that are coming in showing how much people care, the outpouring of love, the food. It's just been amazing to see. When I was looking at verse 3, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." And I realize people comfort us. People come around and comfort us. People are great. So while people are comforting, God is comfort. People are comforting, but God is comfort. When grief overwhelms you, lean into Him. He is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all compassion. He's the God of all mercy. And these aren't just simply attributes of God. He's not a God who is comforting. No, He is the source of all comfort. He is the source of all mercy. He is the source of grace. You'll need that comfort, and you'll receive that comfort from Him. Psalm 34 was just quoted by Ralph. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Take refuge in Jesus. He is good. Verse 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." The Lord was near last night. It was evident to everyone there. The Lord is near to your family. and he will always be near to you. Over the last few weeks, the Lord has been highlighting to several people, and we shared this in our church service a few weeks ago, and several people have had it. It just keeps coming back as a recurring theme, Lamentations chapter 3. It's a hidden gem in the middle of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, O my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You know, these aren't just good scriptures. These aren't just good words we give to people when they're suffering. These are the very words of the Creator of the universe. These are the words of God to us. They're truth. Hold on to them. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6, we read, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort." You know, the world is full of suffering and pain. This world is a broken world. I don't have to tell you, the world is full of people suffering. And you're being equipped as a family to comfort those, and it was evident last night. But you will be used by God to comfort. I shared this with your family on Saturday, and we shared it as a church on Sunday, that I really believe that God is equipping you, strengthening you, and the gifts that were evident in the life of Charlie will be multiplied in and through your family. There's going to be a multiplication that goes beyond any of the natural realm, and I believe that. You know, Charles was a man of discipline. We heard that last night. He had a very strict discipline. He was a disciplined man. He got up early. He lived a disciplined lifestyle. And the key to moving forward as a family is to be found in discipline. There will be fruit in living a disciplined lifestyle. And what I'm specifically talking about is those spiritual, personal spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Personal spiritual disciplines are the key to the fruitful life, an abundant life, and a life of purpose. You know, one of my most treasured possessions in the whole world is a book. And it's not this particular book. This is the Word of God. I treasure this one. But my dad passed away 8.5 years ago. And when we went to his funeral in South Africa, my mom said, "Go into his library and take some of his books." And I found his old Bible. And it was torn. It was scribbled all over on every single page. The cover was falling off. Pages were wrinkled. To everybody else, that's just a book. It's just a book that was probably old, needs to be thrown away. But to me, I could see his thoughts, his prayers, what he was interceding for. And if you look carefully, you could see the tear stains in the book as well. That's my most treasured possession. And I know for you as a family, your dad left behind such a book. Now, don't take that book and put it up on the shelf and say, "Oh, that's a great book. We want to look at it one day. It's amazing. We need to idolize it." No. Charlie would want you to read it, to continue to intercede for the things he was interceding for. As a family, gather around, read from that book. See his heart cry. See his prayers. I know it's going to bring tears. It's going to bring pain, but it's going to bring healing. It is your treasured possession, and I know it's going to speak to you. And for yourselves, though, as you develop your own personal spiritual disciplines, and I'm speaking to the children as well, develop your spiritual disciplines. Grow in them. Take time alone to be with the Lord. Spend time in His Word. The spiritual discipline of a Holy Spirit time management. Nobody knows how Charlie was able to do all he could do in a day. He had a Holy Spirit time management program. Have that. the disciplines of prayer, loving the lost, sharing the gospel, mercy, generosity, personal spiritual disciplines. And as you do that, you will experience the God of all comfort. You will know the God of all comfort will be your comfort and the incredible power of his nearness in the midst of grief. I want to pray that for you now. Let's pray together. Father, we believe your word. You are the God of all comfort. Be their comfort now. Be the comfort to this dear family. Lord, your word says you are near to the brokenhearted. Be near now to this dear family. Your mercies, Lord, are new every morning. May this family receive fresh manna from heaven every morning. Your mercies and your grace. Lord, may they be led by your Spirit to develop a lifestyle, a spiritual disciplined lifestyle that produces fruit, disciplines that produce a harvest of righteousness. And Lord, this is all for your glory, and it's all for your precious name. And we pray in that name now. Amen. So now we're going to have some of the children come up and share. And so if you want to come up and just line up over here.
I'm going to read something from our oldest son. It says, "To my dad, somebody that really meant the world to me more than anything material, somebody that was always there even on bad terms, somebody that never gave up even when stuck, somebody that had the heart to give even if he had nothing, and the time he always made a way, somebody that gives up everything to bring a child that's not theirs in and make them theirs. Somebody that woke up thinking every day how to make the new day better than the last with prayer starting every day. Somebody that never cared about material things, only about others. Somebody that was a real father. My dad was unique because he would never give up no matter how many times I was lost and gave up. He would always push me. He was hard on me because he cared, and I finally got that. He really should be here in my place. I will forever remember how kind and caring my father was. Even in trouble and hard times, he had hope. I never took what my dad said serious when I was younger because I was dumb. But as every day passes, his words stick to me more and more. He was my mentor and my teacher and my everything. Everything a person could ever have wanted in a father and husband. I just want to thank God he's in a better place where he always wanted to be from the start. He never held anything against me, no matter what it was. He was always forgiving and starting over on a better track. I thank my father for everything he ever taught me. I'm going to use those words he told me for the rest of my life and live my life accordingly, continuing his God-walking path. That's my father, Charles Crenier, that taught me the right way to live."
My dad was truly one in a million. He had an extraordinary capacity to love us and so many others. He had so many dreams. I loved his laugh and the twinkle in his eye when he was excited. I loved his original songs and off-tune singing. He was our game night host, the snack man, and the chore enthusiast. He was joy and hard work, passion and creativity. He could hold a conversation and could present himself amazingly. He was fierce about the Bible, but unashamed when he worshiped. He taught me how to love and take care of people. He taught me to put God first and above everything else, to be a shadow of Jesus even when it feels like you're not reaching anyone. I understand this the most now. In many ways, I'm like my dad. I'm his silly face and dance. I'm his dramatic outbursts and strange sayings. I'm his need for a nap and a good cup of coffee. I'm his muncher and Grinch, and I always need warm Olaf hugs. I'm his athletic ability and itch for fun. I'm his passion and love for learning. I'm his need for cleanliness and a firm tone. I have so many things in common with my dad, and I hope as I grow older, I can be even more like him. But honestly, no one could measure up to the man he was. He was the image of Jesus and love. He was far from perfect, but he showed me that, he showed me how to accept that and ask the Lord for help. He showed me to take care, he showed me what it takes. He showed me that it takes Jesus to love Jesus. He was irreplaceable.
Many people know my dad as different things, but one thing everyone could agree on was that he was always there for others, no matter what he was doing. He would always find time to help you. One of the many things I loved about my dad was that he would always listen to my dreams and give me tools and advice on how to achieve them. My dad wanted me to succeed in everything I did, and now I know that all of those hour-long talks were not wasted time. I think back on how annoyed we would get over these long rants, but now I know that this was the Lord letting us get all of the wisdom my dad had to offer. He would always make Bible time his priority. One thing he would always said was that his mornings with the Lord were necessary, and that without them, he could feel the Lord's absence. My dad's drive for us to wake up and come before the Lord. This was one of his many dreams. Our family goal this year was to be more like Jesus, and I know he has achieved that. Something that has brought me comfort is knowing that he is not in pain. One, he is probably dancing, singing, and rejoicing with Jesus, and knowing that he isn't sad helps me overcome my own sadness. If I could see him one last time, I wouldn't cry because his life was always overflowing with joy. We would probably make jokes and play games. Now that he is gone, I don't want that empty space to define me. I want to live the life God has called me to. The verse my dad got saved on was John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." My dad's relationship with the Lord was never wasted time. Even in this rough time, I want to think about my dad's life as a seed, and everything he did is the fruit. All his hard work, sleepless nights, and long days are not going to be unseen.
Read Glory's. I want to start off by saying I love you so much, Dad. I loved how my dad was such a hard-working man. He would go to work and then come back from work and clean up after us and either play outside, help us with math, or anything we needed. Anything we needed, you would do for us. He loved God so much, he always would pray before he would go anywhere. When I was little, I was my dad's snuggle buddy. We would always snuggle together, read books, do crossword puzzles, and just talk. I love you, Dad.
Nelson, I believe there's a song that'll be played for justice. Thank you. Now we're going to have some of Charlie's family and friends sharing. So if those of you that Danielle has spoken to, you know who you are. If you want to come up here and line up, and we're going to have them, so if you want to start moving up, if Danielle spoke to you, and you can introduce yourself, and then if you could just share a one-minute story of what Charles meant to you, and so thank you. Just a minute, and if you can try and do that, thank you. So who's going to be first? I believe from Charles' family.
I'm Ur. I'm probably the more newer member of the family. Thanks for having me. Charlie, like 3 years ago, me and Robin were dating for a few months, and I met Eric at that point, and I desperately wanted Charlie to like me. I I remember shaking his hand, seeing his like smile, and I think he felt like this ain't gonna last. And well, here I am, Charlie. and you know, I think about like a year ago, a little more maybe. The last family reunion, it was first time meeting all the kids, meeting everybody, and it was such a full house, so full of love. And at that point, my plan, meeting Charlie again, that was my second time seeing him. I want to ask, I wanted to pull him aside and ask him if I could marry Robin. Understandably, he was so busy, you know. But we were at, you know, the, was it Lanzetti's or? Lanzetti's. Yeah, we go to this, they go to a restaurant every single time. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Okay.
No, okay.
I'm skipping ahead. And you know, it's crazy, and I'm trying to like find a time to just pull them aside, and like, and I probably stared at Charlie a little too long. I'm like staring at him, trying to see what I'm gonna say, and never got a chance to you know. And of course, we're married now, but that's kind of one of my regrets. But you know, he was such a hardworking guy. I wanted to get his tips on marriage. I wanted to get his tips on family, how to raise children, and yeah, do all that stuff. But you know, it's you know, my job to, I guess, carry on some of his values as others are here. You know, Megan, you're my sister too. These are all my nieces and nephews too. If there's, you know, we're family, so. We gotta stick together and do our best. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sandy. I am Charlie's sister-in-law and Eric's wife. I've been in the family for a while now, and almost every year we would come around this time to come see the family and spend a few days with them. I would usually spend my birthday, and we would go to Zanzetti's, and that was like our tradition every time we came here. But I really want to say thank you to the family for everything. And I want to tell Charlie that I love him so much, and thank you for being such an amazing uncle to Anais. I also want to sing a little song that I just learned the other day from the kids, and I know that this would be our thing. When we would go to the house, it'd be like screaming, clapping, singing. So if the kids could help me, and whoever knows this song, I just learned it the other day, so bear with me if I don't know the words correctly. If I can get people to clap as well, that would help me sing the song better. So it goes, where's Elias? He's my, he sings with me. Okay, but Elias, if you can sing, please, you would help me as well. So, hallelujah, salvation and glory, higher than power, you are wonderful. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, we are wonderful. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, power and honor, we are wonderful. I'm sorry, I sing, I made my own words, but this is the song that we sang the other day. This is the, thank you. You know, this is the song that we sang the other day when I took the kids to the park. He's singing too. This is the song that we sang the other day when we were on our way home from the park. I asked the kids, what song do you know? And they came up with this song, and we just started singing and clapping. And I know that this is something that Charlie would participate in. This was something that I was like, oh, this is Charlie singing through me right now, being silly and singing with the kids and clapping. I just want to say thank you, everybody.
It's extremely hard to pick a favorite memory out of a billion, a trillion favorite memories. But if I was to boil down my favorite, it would be just talking to Charlie. That's it, just listening to what he has to say, talking about the kids, just talking about what they're gonna do, talking about what they're on, talking about Gabriel, talking about Aaliyah getting a job, talking about Justice doing his business, doing, you know, starting businesses. Man, my favorite memory is just that. It's just Charlie saying, my favorite saying from Charlie was always like, yo, come on down, man, let the kids love on you. He said that so many times, even when they're on Irvin Park, like, you know, or I think it was Kyler you guys were on, and Charlie would just say, come on by, man. Aaliyah was just born. Let Aaliyah love on you. And then it was like, let Mariah love on you. And then it was like, you know, let Justice love on you. Let everybody love on you. Let Gabe love on you. And he would do that constantly. He's like, man, just come on by, man. Just let the kids love on you. And we never had plans. Megan knows this. We never had plans. The plan was always just be. Like, just be there. And that was it. And my favorite memory was just, it's always coming to the house, see Megan and Charlie, see the kids. That was the best. Besides Charlie being like one of the goofiest people in my life, I'll never forget you, brother. I miss you. I love you.
Thank you. That was so beautiful. First, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for church. Honor, love, and testimonies. Beautiful. I love you, O Lord, my strength. I first wanted to praise God because he brought this family into our lives, especially Lexi and I. Wow, are we grateful. So I just also want to say that Charlie released love because he dwelt in the love of the Father. His priority was first spending time with Jesus and loving his wife and his family from that place. Beautiful thing. And he taught me that. So I'm going to give a kooky story. Charlie, right before they moved out here, I think they're living way out in the suburbs, and they're blessed out there and everything. But he called me one day. He goes, man, I just got tension. I need just to be free and relax a little bit. I said, put your kids in the car. Come to our house. So he loaded up the kids at the time, maybe 6 or 7, and they drove to the house. And he goes, well, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to eat. So they got in the dining room, and we had our waffles and whipped cream and our syrup and our candy, and we enjoyed a mess, and a crazy mess. So we finished there. He goes, what are we doing now? I said, well, we're going to play follow the leader. So the kids all got behind me, and we just started marching around the house. We would jump on this couch, and then we would jump on that chair, and then we would do kooky things around the house. And then he's like, what are we going to do now? I said, we're just going to go jump in the pool, and we're going to enjoy today. And then we had s'mores and crazy things. And he was walking out, and he hugged me. He goes, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. And I'm listening to him. I'm looking at the kitchen and the dining room, and it's a bomb went off in there, but that's okay. He said, I can't tell you how badly I need it today. How badly I need it today. But isn't that Charlie's story? Because we all needed something, and God poured through him into our lives. And the Lord just bless you and keep you, Megan. I'm encouraged by our God. I'm encouraged that I see Charlie in each one of the kids. Each one is special, and he would point out and speak of those special things that he saw in his kids. I'm encouraged. Thank you for having me.
My name's Ian Rutherford. My wife and I ran with the Kerniers for 10, 12 years before we moved to take another assignment. And I want to echo many of the words that have already been spoken. Last night was just such a clear demonstration of the gospel, and so reminiscent of Charlie's heart, Megan's heart, I want to say thank you to the family who articulated the gospel so clearly and so wonderfully in a moment of sadness. What a demonstration for so many of us to see and behold, and it was a gift to me. I think this, if I had a minute, which, you know, it's impossible to tell anything about Charlie in just a minute, it would be the first time I met him. We were attending what's now FCF, and church is done. I walked to the back. Charlie's just kind of standing there and up a conversation, and I'm like, so are you new? And I said, he said, yeah. And I said, how new? Like, are you here a month? And he goes, this is our first day. I said, really, where are you staying? And he said, well, we're staying in the U-Haul truck outside. Oh, okay. And he was unapologetic. He was a man of faith. And there was a type of defiance in his face when he spoke. You know, and it was his trust in the Lord. If his trust in the Lord make him feel weak, he was not going to despise it. He was going to trust the Lord. I want to say I saw that same look of defiance when he was in Chicago. We visited him into Chicago, and he was, you know, basically, in at least in my estimation. And he was very aware. He was very self-aware. And the look of defiance in his face to say, I'm going to follow God no matter what it looks like, that was the fire that was inside this man. I would like to say, if I could, just as an aside, Eric, you made some comments last night about your brother being hard on you. I'm not sure. We had several conversations and prayer times, and, you know, that was a confession of his heart that he regretted that time. He regretted those moments with you, and had long conversations and long prayers for you, and repenting, essentially, just feeling holy regret or holy remorse. And I just want to say to you, he loved you. He loved you. And he was aware many of the things that you articulated last night were echoes of things that I had heard. And he loved you. He loves you now. But his heart was soft toward you in so, at so many levels. And he times as a brother. Just have a moment of indulgence. I just want to speak directly to the family. And I want to just say that I want to remind the kids of things you already know. You don't need reminded of these, but I just want to say that your father is a great man. And a great friend. One of the things that I don't know, probably every pastor does this, but a lot of times when you make a friend or when you have somebody in your life, you ask the Lord, you know, who are they in the Bible? Who did you write in the Holy Scripture that they're like? And I think of Epaphras. When I think of Charlie, Epaphras was on the cutting edge of evangelism. It actually says in Colossians that he gave his life night and day for the betterment of other people. I don't have time to read the scripture, but the first part of Colossians and the last part of Colossians describes Epaphras, and it is a eulogy of your father's life. how he labored for other people's souls and how he labored for the advancement of the gospel. And I want to be a family friend, and I want to tell you he was amazing. I know you already know that, but I want you to remember that there were men standing in front of you and beside your family, and that your love for your father isn't simply because he was your father. Your love for your father is because of the greatness of the gospel that lived inside of him and how he lived it. And you can hang on to that the rest of your life.
I'm wasted. I feel like the adrenaline off. You guys feel that way? I just don't want it to end. I don't want to go back to life just having the reality hit you, you know? Best thing about Charlie. I mean, I'm racking my brains. I got nothing because every moment was awesome. My name's Ken DeBenedictis. I live next door. So I got a bunch of kids, and he does too, and all our kids are in each other's refrigerators, you know. So that's just life. It's real, though. And that's who Charlie was. He was real. He was real. He was real deal. And that's what attracted us and our friendship, that we saw similar, stripped down. We don't want the gin. We want the real. And that was something that Charlie carried because he was hungry. And we got together and we ate together and we stoked each other, because we wanted something more in God. We wanted to go as far as we can. And so every time we get together, that grew, and it helped us get through our seasons. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that says when you have something good that comes out of your life that God did, it's fruit. And then when he sees the fruit, the vine dresser comes and clip, 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 clips all that fruit, takes it all away. And it just seemed like we were going through the same season together of fruitlessness and leaves not being there. And there we were out in this front lawn, time after time, like two twigs talking to each other, fruitless and leafless, and that's all we had. It was just this twigness about us talking real and being honest and trying to fix the church. It seemed to be the conversation that never ended, because we cared so much about his church, his body. Didn't have to be here, could have been anywhere. And he carried that with him. Charlie always felt like he just couldn't find it. It was always something else he wanted to do and get at. And we spurred each other on in that pursuit. And it's so funny, it's so ironic. Last night was the most fruitful thing that I've seen in a long time. And all of his searching and all of his laying down of his life, not doing the thing that he wanted to do, whatever that was, how much it affected people, and that fruit was born. It was powerful to see a living example of someone who just, even though they were searching, did what it took to lay his life down and let it happen. got a billion stories, but I'm not going to go into them. But I'm going to miss my friend a lot. I feel like he ditched me. But it's a good place to be. And I'm going to miss him a lot.
My name is Michael Cantu, and I'm a friend of Charlie's and the Kinnears. Probably like many of you, I haven't been able to sleep much this week. And I was going through my journal last night, and it was the last day of 21. And I couldn't know why, but the Lord kept speaking the word adversity for 22. And it was for several days. He just kept speaking adversity. And I spent most of last year training for the military, so that word just made sense. I was like, okay, this resonates with me. In March, I got a call that my grandmother was dying. And the Lord spoke to me, go be with your grandmother. I want you to help usher her into my presence. And so I went, and that was easy. I got to tell her just stories of Jesus and read the Bible to her. In June, again, we got a call that my father-in-law was dying. And I was able to go and bathe my father-in-law and anoint his head with oil. And shortly after, he went into the presence of the Lord, and that was easy. But this is hard. In the spectrum of grief, I find myself bargaining with God for just one more day. I would take 1 hour and give you guys the rest of the 23 hours. When I was a young man, I remember my dad speaking over me, and he didn't know it at the time, but he gave a charge over my life. He said, tell me who you hang out with, and I'll tell you who you are. And I was so blessed to have Charlie as a friend. In Romans 5, it talks about hope, and it says, we glory in tribulation because tribulation leads to perseverance. And perseverance leads to godly character. And godly character leads to hope. And I'll be honest, I feel stuck in tribulation. But one of my favorite memories was sitting next to Charlie in prayer meetings. And he always prayed from a place of hope. And I was so blessed to sit next to him. He would utter words that the mind couldn't comprehend. But if you'd listen, you would hear prayers also with that. I mean, and it was all prayers, but one of my favorite memories, I'm going to try to get this right on how he would pray. So Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, we love you.
Hello, I'm Israel, Uncle Charlie's nephew. I think maybe you guys know that. I don't know. But I'm trying to think of a favorite memory, but there's so many. But if I think about a memory that sticks with me the most, I think it's one day he invited me to go pray with him at 5 a.m. in the morning. And I remember the night prior being so pumped, like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to pray at 5 a.m. and go after the Lord. And he's like, yeah, we're going to do it. Only to find out at 4:30, it's not so much like that. he woke me up. I was super tired. And he woke me up, like, was over me like this. I was sleeping downstairs in the basement. Had his hat kind of crooked. And his eyes were so awake and like being like, you ready? Come on. I was like, oh man, like, can I not come? He said, no, you gotta do this. Gotta do this. Don't be like Peter from the garden with Jesus, you know? Don't fall asleep. And I was like, I made my promise to him. So I woke up, he waited for me to get ready, lovingly sat on the couch, and he's like, you ready? So we go in the car, and you know, he's speaking in tongues, and I'm just tired. I'm just trying to find some coffee. But we go there. We spent a few hours. Had a great time with the Lord. Was blasted. And one moment, I just look and glance to my left. You know, he's got the Bible curled up, pacing back and forth. And I remember him praying over the scripture, just seeing him, like, interceding from a deep place of his heart. So 2 hours hit. It's around, I don't know, like, 7:30-ish. I think it's more than 2 hours, but super hungry. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go eat. And then I don't see him, but he taps me on the back of my shoulder and he's like, hey, come in the back with me. I was like, oh. I was like, okay. Took my phone and set it for another 2 hours. But I went in the back and I was like, oh man, I'm like really hungry. Like, I already had my good time with the Lord. And I remember him praying, and I remember him saying, like, I spent these 2 hours of words to pray over you. And he started prophesying over me and praying things into my life. And I was just a mess on the floor, you know, crying. And him speaking the tongues over me. I think it hit 2 hours around there. But I remember being so encouraged going there with him. And drive back, and then, you know, I'm eating, I think, waffles or something. And then he was like, hey, let me show you this in the Bible. I was like, oh, this is going to be another, like, an hour and a half. But looking back, I think it was an hour and a half, actually, starting to think about it. But looking back, those moments were so precious. Every minute of him pouring into me, every moment of him getting off track of the chapter and eventually turned into a story about his life or something, but brought it back into the Bible. I cherish every moment of that day. Thank you.
I haven't shared this with the family yet. I was holding on to it, but it's fitting to share today. So I remember the last night I saw him. We were in Kansas City about a couple weeks ago, and we were standing in the stairway of the basement holding laundry baskets. he turned and looked at me and said, yeah, Ellie, I'm so proud to be your uncle. Through the years, I haven't gotten to know you as much as I'd like to, since we live so far away. But I know I'm proud of who you're becoming because of what God is creating in you. And I love that I got to spend extra time with you over the phone doing math together. He said we never had enough time together, but I'm grateful for the time we had. And I think those were perfectly spoken words. And I will hold them. I will hold on to them until I see him again in eternity.
My name is Wendell. Wendell. By God's grace, I'm going to be able to do this. Charlie was friend. My best friend. But it was more than that. He was my brother. He is my brother. And I don't mean that in a like a churchy's kind of thing. He is my brother. And I say he is because my brother's living before our King right now. I miss him a lot. But as far as many, as far as moments, special moments, we've had, I don't know how many, and many people can say many, because I believe it, because Charlie was just, his life was full of those wonderful moments. We've known each other since Chicago. We were part of the Apprentice. And first met Charlie, we were taking the internship at the House of Prayer in Chicago. And part of our responsibility, we had to clean up the prayer room on Saturdays. Almost every Saturday, if not every. Charlie was like, Tom was the one that was over our team as far as, you know, preparing us for the prayer room. He'll say, brother, I can't clean. I gotta go home. My wife and the baby, you know, Aaliyah at the time. He's like, I gotta go. I can't do it, bro. Tom, I know. Tom was like, he was patient, but you know, like, bro, you have to clean. But yes, he has such an amazing heart. But you know, just a rundown, just a few things. I remember the time back in Portage Park when he and Gabe came around on their bikes, and they let us know, we were in Chicago, and they let us know, and my wife and I, we were in the cut, you know, in a hidden place at the park. It's a huge park. It's about maybe a square mile, I don't know. The Lord directed him towards us, you know, and I, hey, bro, you know, and he let us know that that they were deciding to come to Kansas City to be a part of the House of Prayer. And we were like, bro. And then we prayed there, and then they came in 2006. My daughter, Genesis, had just been born about 3 days prior. We left the hospital. She was still in the hospital, when she released from the hospital, we went directly to the House of Prayer because we wanted to see our friends come here. And then a year later, we were here. Now get this, the Lord directed us to come to Kansas City. He says, time to go home, Kansas City. And I had called Charlie and I said, Charlie, man, I think we're coming to Kansas City. And you know, he just got on fire. Yeah, bro, you need to be here, man. You don't need to be watching on the stream. You need to be, have your place, you know, face in the place. You know, he started rhyming and everything. Have your face in the place and, you know, be in the seat. You know, you need to come, man. Come on. He let me know later on. He's like, during that time, it's like, bro, it was like, you know, going through, because, you know, going through for the Lord. But he's like, yes, you need to come. And guess what? We came. I had been laid off, right, from my job in Chicago. We didn't have a job, have a place, anything. We just have 12 bags. We flew in. We got a U-Haul. Long story short, we went to the prayer room, and we had no other place. And we just went to the prayer room. Tried to call Charlie. We had the area code wrong. It was disconnected. It was like, a, you know, intercessory missionary, can happen. and so we went, but we were in the U-Haul, we were in the parking lot, and you know how big that parking lot is. It was 5 something in the morning, and so Charlie was coming. Oh, so we were in there, and then one of my sons needed to use the restroom, and so we woke up, you know, opened the door, and guess who's standing right there, getting ready to walk by the door? It was Charlie. It was Charlie, and I said, hey, Charlie. He was like, Wendell, y'all are here? And so he was on his way to go to a missions trip. This is who he is. And we know this. He gave, he said, look, he told them to hold on. He gave us, he gave his keys to us, for, to his home, gave keys to his car. And Megan and the family, they were in Chicago visiting, and he went on a trip, and we stayed at their place for just a couple of days. And then, but the Lord blessed us with our own place immediately. But that's who he is. He was always the welcoming face. When we left for 2 years, came back and got on the train, who was it that picked us up from the train station? Took us from the train station in Kansas City and took us all the way out to Holden, Missouri at 11 o'clock at night. That's my brother. That's my guy. I'm sorry, it's not being so formal, but that's my guy. That's my brother. And, but we always, you know, so I thank the Lord for my brother. And we, you know, endless times in the morning, early in the morning, we would challenge each other being in the prayer room, right? As far as time and so forth. And we called it the invitation. You know, sometimes, you know, just leaving little messages and this is the invitation to come into the house of prayer early to meet with the Lord. But all the time with his Bible, it's like, what's the word, Wendell? What you got? You know, that's who he is. And I apologize. You know, just I'm trying to stay, you know, within the minute. And probably outside of the minute. But I want us to see. You're Charlie's babies, but in my heart, you're mine as well. I want you to know you have a great name, Grenier. And your father's spirit, the same spirit is upon him, is upon you. And I believe from Gable all the way from Gabe down to Caleb. You will carry it. It's going to be hard. I'm sorry. I know it will. But the Spirit of the Lord will lift you up. And you always got me. You always got our family. Okay. We love you. And we love you, Charlie.
My name's Dan. My wife, Maureen, and I, we just saw Charlie Friday night at the football game. And he would always, you know, whoever we were talking to, he's like, these are the first people I met in 2014 when I first came back here. And we were at a Friday night service, and you guys hadn't come down yet. But he always affectionately, I mean, he told that story with such excitement every time. Almost embarrassingly, but I had a dream last night. Before I share that, I don't know, a little background. I had a son that died 11 years ago that was only 3 years younger than Charlie. Passed on August 23rd, so even... same week. But anyhow, last night was amazing. I had a few conversations with some friends, and we were all like, man, what the heck have I been doing with my life? You know what I mean? Charlie, 43, he did more than I've done. I just turned 60. And but anyhow, I'll share the dream, and I have a couple things after that. I feel like the Lord has in my heart as well. But I woke up this morning at 3:05. Help me, Lord, to get through this. I was in a room with Charlie, and there was a table with a bunch of blueprints on it. I'm not sure what Charlie was doing. It seemed like he was helping me, but I only saw myself stacking and organizing this pile of blueprints. Charlie never spoke, but he was there. After I was done organizing the blueprints, the Holy Spirit came over me and I just started weeping and full out sobbing as I said something in the realm of this. Charlie, you know, I'm bawling as I start to communicate this to Charlie. But I said, you are absolutely an amazing man. And I realize now how little I've lived my life. I've not lived my life to its full potential, and I need your help, and I need you to keep me accountable. This dream was one that seemed so real and reminded me of a dream I had of my son after Ryan, after he had died. Similar setting, it was a white room. In this dream with Charlie, there was a white table. Charlie just stood there with me with that smile on his face as he just stood and watched me as I poured my heart out to him. I woke up and I knew that this was a significant dream because it lined up with some things that I've been thinking about regarding my own personal development. I know that I am capable of so much more, but I allow myself to be controlled by fear and other things I don't even know. I always think to myself, why can't I have breakthrough? Why do I have limiting thoughts about my life? I know Charlie is gone, but I have friends and people in my life that can help me to be a better man, husband, father, and friend. I'm choosing this day to be better. I'm choosing this day to live my life to the full potential and do things to help others reach theirs. And I share that because many of you probably left feeling the same way. And I just want to encourage you that your life's not over. There's still time for you to be like Charlie. Is it Eric, right? So last night when you were sharing, you were talking about how Charlie was his leader and you just did whatever Charlie said. And this morning when I was just praying and thinking, I feel like the Lord says to you, Eric, it's time for you to be that leader. I have 8 kids. And I just feel like I want to speak to you guys. I don't know how Charlie would say it, but I know how a dad would say it. And he would be looking at each one of you in the eyes and just telling you, I know it's hard. I know this is a painful place to be, but I love you, and I love you with an everlasting love. You are the apple of my eye. And my encouragement to you is feel the pain, feel the anger. Don't hold it in. But he would want you to live. Just, he wants you to live. He wants you to be the best football player. Be. Don't let your anger get in your way of being successful. Gabe, he loved you. He was your dad. A third of the pictures was him and you in that video. You have to see the love that he had for you. And you had your differences and you had your difficult times. But he loved you with his whole heart. Carry that into your life. You can do this. you will be successful. You will be a leader. You are a leader. And I know he loved all of you guys so much. But know that don't stop living now. You've got to keep going. But allow yourself to feel. I think that's it.
Grander earths quake before, moved by the sound of his voice. The seas that are shaken and stirred can be calm and broken, my regards. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me.
Far be it from me.
Far be it from me to not believe.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well.
Yes, it is.
And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. It is well. My soul and trust in him, the waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul and trust in him, the waves and wind still know his name.
The waves and wind,
the waves and wind. Still know his
name. It is well.
It is well with my soul.
We sing our testimony today.
And it is well.
Jesus, because of you,
and it is well.
lift it up.
With my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul.
One more time.
It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Amen. So now we want to have a time of prayer for Megan and the children. If you want to all come forward and if you feel led to come around them, lay hands on them and pray for them. And we'll come up here. I think sometimes the best way to do this is just all pray out in unison. Just pray what the Lord has laid on your heart. Pray for this family, and let's lift them up before heaven.
Hallelujah. Father, even when we can't feel it, you're working. Even when we can't hear it, you're working, because you never stop working in the hearts of your people. That's never been more evident in the lives of our families as it has been in these last few days. Because we saw the blessings that you've given Charlie, borne out in the lives of his people. And we've seen, oh Father God, the fruits of his labor. So Lord, we ask you today, oh Father God, that we know that though we may have heavy hearts, we know that we can come to the God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all of our needs, because you have this promise that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches for your glory. So Lord, we rest and we are assured by the word of God, by the infallible 100% truth of God's word, that you are with us in spirit, and Charlie is with us in spirit, even though his physical body may be gone. And we rest in the fact that we will most assuredly see him one day again, because right now you are preparing a place for him in your heavenly mansion. And what a place that will be. And right now, Charlie's preparing a place for his family and his friends. And the next time we see him, there will be no separation. There will be no sickness. There will be no tears of sadness, but only tears of happiness and joy. Because right now, Charlie resides with you and waits to be reunited with us. So we leave here today, oh Father God, and ask you that we may leave here and go to our own separate ways, but your Holy Spirit always remains in us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to see your scriptures in action, to see your word come to life before our very eyes. We will cherish this time forever and never forget to give you the glory and honor that only you deserve. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you for being here.
Thank you, everybody, for coming this morning. I know it means so much to Megan and the family. We're going to share a meal together now, and the meal is all set up in the kitchen, dining room, which is the room next door. So the way we do it is you actually have to go out through these doors and around through the back way and come back in through that door. Someone will be there to direct you. You can pick up a plate of food and then come. We'll have some chairs around the tables for you. So before we do that, I'm going to pray, bless the meal, and we can share. I know one of the things the family wanted is that this time is actually a joyous time. And the kids can have crayons. They're going to have crayons on these tables. These tables are set up for the children. There'll be some music playing, and let's share joyous memories. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for this food. We pray that you'd bless it to us and bless our fellowship around this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. So, family, why don't you go first and lead the way?